The night Sid Barrett strapped mirrors to his Fender Esquire guitar, he wasn't decorating an instrument, he was building a weapon. At the UFO Club, co-founded by Joe Boyd and Hoppy Hopkins, in the basement of a grocery store at 31 Tottenham Court Road, Barrett aimed those circular mirrors at the liquid light projections overhead and fired them back into the crowd. The audience didn't just hear Pink Floyd, they were inside the sound. That detail matters, Javier, because it tells you something most listeners completely miss. From the very beginning, Pink Floyd was never about the notes. It was about the space the notes created. Here's the failure mode. Most people treat Pink Floyd as background texture, something to put on while working, a sonic wallpaper of long guitar tones and slow builds. That's the trap. When you listen passively, you miss the architecture. Think of it like walking through a cathedral with your eyes closed. You feel the echo, sure, but you never see the structure that creates it. Pink Floyd's music is that structure. Every silence, every feedback loop, every unresolved chord is a deliberate load-bearing wall. The UFO Club performances were a laboratory for exactly this. Barrett using feedback not as noise, but as a visual medium, a physical force that bent the room. Passive listening collapses all of that into mood music. Now, here's where the history gets genuinely strange. In 1967, Pink Floyd recorded their debut album, The Piper at the Gates of Dawn, at Abbey Road Studios, concurrently with the Beatles recording Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band in the same building. Two seismic records, same hallways, same months. Barrett was the gravitational center of that debut. His songwriting, his stage presence, his mirror guitar theatrics, the band orbited him completely. So when Barrett's mental health deteriorated and he was effectively removed from the band, the remaining members faced a structural crisis that went far beyond losing a frontman. They had lost the entire organizing principle of what Pink Floyd was. Roger Waters, David Gilmour, Richard Wright, and Nick Mason didn't just need a new singer. They needed a new reason to exist. The key idea here is what I'd call the Barrett pivot. That means taking a central loss and refusing to patch over it. Instead, you let the void become the structure. During the transition period after Barrett's departure, the band developed conceptual live suites called The Man and The Journey. These weren't songs in any conventional sense. They were extended frameworks, pieces of music designed to hold atmosphere, rather than melody, to sustain tension rather than resolve it. For example, where Barrett had filled the center of the sound with his charismatic, unpredictable presence, the remaining members began innovating the edges, the texture of a bass line, the decay of a keyboard note, the precise moment a guitar tone crosses from music into noise. The psychological vacuum Barrett left didn't destroy the band. It forced them to build a new kind of architecture to fill it. That architecture would eventually become The Dark Side of the Moon, Wish You Were Here, and The Wall. The absence was the blueprint. Remember this, Javier. The Barrett pivot is not a story about loss. It's a story about constraint as creative engine. When the most obvious solution, replace the genius, is unavailable, you're forced to interrogate the deeper question. What was the genius actually doing that we can't replicate? And what new form do we build around that gap? Pink Floyd's answer was atmospheric rock of almost architectural scale. The takeaway for how you listen to this band is direct. Stop waiting for the hook. The hook is the space between the sounds. Every time you catch yourself treating a Pink Floyd record as background, you're falling into the trap, Barrett's own departure exposed. The assumption that the center of the music is where the music lives. It isn't. The center is empty on purpose. That emptiness, Javier, is the whole point.